This is Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid Podcast.
La tensa situación y la emoción. Pasó.
All right, hello everybody, and welcome again to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and it is good to be here again in 2022. Yes, it's been a while. It's been 1 year since our last podcast. Essentially, it's been towards the end of I think it was December 14th the last time I did a podcast, the last time we did a podcast. And you know, we've taken a little longer to get back into the swing of things, you know, for obvious reasons, you know, holidays, things like that. And finally, I am back in the office. I am back here at the studio. My editor's back. My graphic designer's back. I was doing a couple things on Twitter, following the games and whatnot, but I didn't have my whole, you know, my peeps with me to be able to put this thing together the way I would want to do. So that's why it took some time to jump back into the swing of things, but we are back. We are officially back. 2022 is in effect. We are back into the swing of things. And with that said, of course, the team Real Madrid is back into the swing of things. I would say it was a rough start, obviously, to the new year for us with that loss against Getafe, which was an absolutely dismal game. And then in addition to that, the game against Alcoyano, that although we did win, unfortunately, was a very, very terrible performance again from Real Madrid. So it was looking like, at least in my opinion, it was looking like things were headed in a rough direction. And then we had, obviously, the game against Valencia, and things were looking, are looking better. And that all has to do, of course, with two people, which are Benzema and Vinicius, which is why this episode, I named it the Vinny and Benz Show, because I think that is what Real Madrid really is at this moment, is the Vinicius and Benz Show. And especially we could see the difference that Vinicius made, the difference that it made not having him on the pitch for those first two games of the season, since he was out due to COVID. So, a lot of things to talk about, I guess. You know, I mean, I don't want to get too much into those two games, of course, that have already passed. I mean, at this point, they're in the past. But a good thing to sort of start in talking about, I guess, about different things that we can kind of see are going to happen. Hopefully, things are starting to look up now and get back into the swing of things in a correct manner. Back into our winning ways, per se, with the win over Valencia. So, that bodes well going into right now, these next few games, one of them being a Clásico against Barcelona, which is obviously a very severely depleted Barcelona, in the, you know, just in the idea of how they are playing and the level that they're playing at. You know, they just got that draw against Granada. You know, and I mean, they're a very young, inexperienced team at this point. And I think Real Madrid should, do what they need to do against them. But Barcelona is a team you never can take lightly, because they always head into these games against Real Madrid looking to, of course, cause us harm. So they always look in there, not physically, of course, but causes harm, of course, in, trying to eliminate us, trying to score, trying to win, trying to beat us. And usually that is an extra motivator for them, because of the fact that they are, of course, always going to be, the Eternos Segundones, which is, you know, they're always going to be the eternal second place, the second best team in Spain. They will always be that way. So it's always going to be a chip on their shoulder. So that is going to be what that the next game is. And then we have, of course, in Copa del Rey, we have Elche. And I think we have Elche on two separate occasions. I would have to look into that. But I know that those are the games that are coming up for Real Madrid. So With that said, guys, we are officially back. Once again, like I said, 2022 podcast will be, of course, every weekend. And with that said, we are right now, if you are watching, this is the YouTube version of the podcast. If you are listening, of course, you are listening to the audio version of the podcast. If you didn't know, we have a video version of the podcast. You can head over to YouTube, search Y Nada Más, and that way you can check out the video version of this podcast. If you are listening, please head over to YouTube and give us a like, give us a subscribe. You can check out, like I said, you can check out a video version of the podcast, which, you know, you can put a face to the voice. Might not be the prettiest face you've ever seen, but there you go. You can put a face to the voice. So you can do that. And then also, in addition, help us get to, we're trying to get to, at this point, we're trying to get to just the 100 subscribers so I can get that vanity URL in order for it to be, you know, youtube.com/Y Nada Más podcast and not this crazy, you know, string of numbers that I currently have. So if you can help us with that, that would be great. Just hit the subscribe button. If you want to get notified of all of our upcoming podcasts, just hit the notification button. And you can do that there. And as well, guys, you can also check us out, of course, on Twitter, which is where I am most active during, you know, game days. That's where I'm kind of most talking about the game as things are going on. So you can check us out on Twitter at Y Nada Más Podcast. You can check us out on Facebook at Y Nada Más Podcast. And you can check out some of the designs we're putting together. Of course, we do different game day designs and different things, you know, just when we think something cool is happening at Real Madrid and my designer or myself get a chance to put something together. You can check out some of the stuff that we've done at YNM Podcast on Instagram. So that is where we are most active, guys. So please give us a hand, you know, help us out. Follow us on all those pages if you can, and on YouTube, of course. And of course, we are on audio pretty much wherever you find your podcast, whether that be Spotify, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you can find or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. That is where we are. So please check us out there. We are also on the web, on our website, which is ynadamas.net. You can see all the articles written by my good friend Trombach. If you are interested in writing for ynadamas.net and writing for our website, which we do have, of course, you know, we want to produce more stories and have more, I would say, more analysis of the games in a written thing, you know, in a written way. For those of you that are interested in writing, you guys like to write, check it out, do that. Hit us up at info@ynadamas.net and we will try to get back to you as soon as possible. There was a little lag, obviously, during the holiday season. I wasn't here. A couple of the guys that are with me were not here checking that. So I just got a couple of the emails. I will be responding to those. So if you are interested in writing for us, check us out there. My good friend Trombach, who writes for us, has been active and has written a couple different things of the last few games. So you can check that out. You can always check out some of his writing on ynadamas.net. And of course, he features here on the podcast occasionally as well. So that is all the social media stuff I have to say for now. But anyway, let's go into, of course, you know, what was the, I would say the start of the second half of the season or the start of the new year for Real Madrid. Once again, absolutely dismal game against Getafe. It just seemed like a game where everything was just going wrong. From, you know, I remember watching the game and I just remember being absolutely frustrated because nothing was going right. I mean, aside from Militao, obviously, who's been very solid in the back, making a huge mistake that caused the first goal of the game and the only goal of the game, essentially the winner for Getafe, that, you know, being dispossessed by Unal to get, you know, the goal scored on to concede the goal for Real Madrid to concede that goal and end up, of course, losing the game. You know, that was just, you know, those things happen in football. Unfortunately, they shouldn't be happening to a team like Real Madrid, but you know, those. It doesn't matter what kind of professional you are. I think at any point in the season, at any point in any game, you can make a grave mistake and it will cost you. And it can either cost you the game or it can cost you to get scored on. And then the idea is, well, it happened so early in the game that we should have been able to come back to it. But Getafe's defense was on point. But in addition to that, I think it was one of those games. There are some of those games in the season, unfortunately, where it's almost like Murphy's Law, which is where if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong. And essentially, you know, we always say that if there's one person who's having a bad game, well, you know, there are other players that can pick up the slack and, you know, kind of make up for that one person that's having a bad game. But the problem is sometimes there is just a, how would I say, is it a confluence? There's just a confluence of errors, just like all the errors happening in one spot, a lot of things happening where the team just does not seem like they are awake, like they are just recovering from essentially a partying during the holiday season, and they come back and they all looked like they were absolutely asleep. And I mean, I've never seen a game where everybody seemed off, you know, like whether it was Karim Benzema, who looked completely off, his passes were going awry, he didn't seem to be able to link up with anybody. Rodrigo was not playing well there on the left flank. Asensio was absolutely just disappearing, which is crazy to me because he's had, if I would say, I've been hard on Asensio, and I think a lot of us have been hard on Asensio as Madridistas, but he's had some pretty good games this season, more so than he had, let's say, last season. And of course, you know, after his injury, but he's been sort of this sporadic guy who has, you know, these really great, has phenomenal games and then disappears for a couple of games and then has another phenomenal game. So it's kind of like he's always, it's this almost like dragging, you know, sort of tug of war effect with Asensio as of late, where it's when you think you've given up on him, he gives you, when everyone feels like giving up on Asensio, and I think he feels like everyone's giving up on him, even with Ancelotti, then all of a sudden he puts in a great performance, and it's like everyone can remember what he was able to do. But and so we kind of give him, and you know, we kind of give him a clean slate in a way, and then you know he goes and disappears again, and then everyone just is like, ah, Asensio's doing it again, and then he'll appear and do it again, have another good game. So that is kind of the strange thing with Asensio, but this one game against Getafe was another one of those games where he just absolutely disappeared again on the right flank. And, you know, with Rodrigo not performing well on the left, and in this game actually starting on the left because Vinicius was out due to COVID. And, you know, the funny thing is, I live in Miami, and Miami, I think we went up like 1,000% in cases. Like, Florida is just the Wild West. You know, think of it like wherever you guys are in the world, if you're in Europe, if you're in India, if wherever you guys are, wherever you are listening to us from, let me tell you one thing. I mean, the United States is the craziest thing when it comes to COVID. Like, people give zero fucks here, you know, and it stands to reason why, like, there is a lot of COVID in the United States of America. And especially Florida, which has, you know, people don't care here. People have never cared in Florida. People don't care about it. Florida is just the Wild West as it is. In the United States, it is by far, I think, the craziest state, because there is always a story of some people doing some random crazy things here in the United States. So, I mean, sorry, here in Florida. Whether that's, you know, sometimes it's a crazy murder or something like that, but they, you know, go crazy and eat somebody, or they, you know, or they get angry at somebody at a McDonald's for not delivering their chicken nuggets correctly, and they throw an alligator through the drive-through window. That's the kind of stories that you hear in Florida. It's an insane state. And, you know, chalk it up to the fact that I think, you know, there's a lot of partying, there's a lot of sun, there's a lot of beautiful women, there's a lot of, you know, fun stuff to do in Florida. It's near the beach, and nobody wants to, you know, isolate or be away from other people because it's a party capital. And essentially, we have a governor who believes that that's the right way to do things. So everything is open. Nobody cares about COVID or wearing a mask or 6 feet or whatever, or vaccinating. I mean, it's just wherever you stand on the spectrum of, you know, whether you're a person that believes in isolating completely or believes in going out and doing whatever the hell you want, there's something for everybody here in this state. So Vinicius coming here to Florida and going to a Miami Heat game, as we saw, and then getting COVID was absolutely no surprise. But it was a detriment, unfortunately, to Real Madrid because of course, him catching COVID really, you know, Rodrigo is more, you know, Rodrigo, you know, started his career more so as a left winger than he was a right winger. He's just become a right winger at Real Madrid because there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of competition, of course, with that left wing having Hazard and having Vinicius, and especially with the season that Vinicius is having. So we have Rodrigo playing on the left and Asensio playing on the right in this game against Getafe. Them not working, them not having good games. Benzema was not having a good game. Kroos, which was a surprising thing, missing, you know, crazy, which was missing passes. And, you know, there was one pass that went so crazy. I don't know. No, actually, I think it was a free kick that went so incredibly awry that I've never seen that from Kroos before. But it just goes to show you that these guys, as professional as they may be, and as much practice as they may have, and as much as they might be among the best players in the world, will have games that we call, you know, that are just absolute stinkers. And this game was one of those games that was a stinker all the way around. I mean, I don't think there was anybody salvageable. I mean, I think, honestly, I think Lucas Vazquez was actually a pretty good player for Real Madrid that game. I think Militao, despite his mistake, did a good job, which goes to show you, I mean, he really did try to put himself back in the game. But when it came to the attack, the only other person that I could see was salvageable in there, of course, besides you know, besides our defense, I really think that was doing a decent job, was Luka Modric, who has been just phenomenal no matter where you put him this season. He's just been, for me, one of the best players on the pitch. And that is, once again, you know, I always say that I have a Luka Modric bias, but It's just been insane to watch him play. He's just been nothing short of phenomenal this entire season. And Kroos has as well, but Kroos has been, you know, Kroos, of course, unfortunately started the season with injuries and then, you know, had to kind of get his way back into it. But he's been phenomenal as well. But he did have a stinker in this game. And as I said, it was a confluence of errors and mistakes and just an overall bad game. And that cost us the win. It cost us 3 points, which was a very hurtful thing, and because of the fact that Sevilla won their game. And Sevilla's actually, you know, all jokes aside, Sevilla isn't a team I've ever really disliked, to be honest with you. Sevilla's a team that I've kind of always been okay with. I think the only reason I dislike them now is because I dislike Cristóbal Soria from Chiringuito so much, and he's a Sevilla fan. Not really. I don't think he's really that much of a Sevilla fan anymore. He's more of a Barcelona fan. Because he definitely simps more for Barcelona than he's ever been a fan of of Sevilla. Or his hatred for Real Madrid just takes over everything. But either way, that's the only reason I want to see Sevilla lose now. It's not because I even dislike them as a team as much. But there you go. You know, they've been doing pretty well. I mean, pulling games out, even though they haven't played as well, they've been getting the points that they need. So losing that game against Getafe basically puts them, you know, we have one more game than they do. So essentially we have, what, we're 5 points ahead of them, right? But we have a game, they have a game in hand over us. So, you know, it's still, they are still within striking distance and still have an ability to cause us problems. And I think really that's the only team, because, you know, with Atletico Madrid getting a draw today against Villarreal, that draws them even more back. Real Betis also had a draw today. I forgot with who they were playing with. I believe it was Rayo Vallecano, who's also been having a great season, Rayo Vallecano. So those teams that were chasing us essentially are falling further and further back. And the only one that is essentially really still a cause for concern is Sevilla. But it's still Real Madrid's league to lose, which was why this sort of misstep at the beginning of the season was very concerning. I mean, even the game against Alcoyano, and we'll move on from the Getafe game, which was for me just a game where everything went wrong. And I'll talk also about the Vinicius thing in a second. But, you know, the absence of Vinicius and what that means for Real Madrid in those first two games. But the game against Alcoyano was the same thing. I mean, it was just, once again, a team. Alcoyano just seems to have, or maybe we were just, maybe the team was just thinking about all the ghosts of that last season's loss against Alcoyano, you know, maybe overthinking it and not wanting to fall again to this team, not wanting to, you know, not wanting to lose to this team again. And of course, we didn't have And unfortunately, in this case, we didn't have either Vinicius or Luka Jovic, who was enjoying, I think, a sort of resurgence and starting to look good. And we had the likes of Mariano, who did not have a good game, I don't think, at all, and just continues to show, for me at least, that while he has, while he goes out and he plays his heart out and tries to play well, his skill set does not match up with his heart. And that's just something that, it's not a knock on the guy. I mean, he's a hard worker. But sometimes when you can be a hard worker, but if your skills don't match up with the hard work, then it doesn't mean he can't be a professional football player or that he's not good. It just means, you know, I mean, he was great at Lyon, but it's not matching up with what we need here at Real Madrid. And I think Jovic would have been an awesome person to have there at that time, since I've always been a Jovic fanboy. I would have liked to see him get that opportunity since Benzema wasn't going to be there. And now we have to see how that's going to play out. But, Benzema wasn't there. Modric wasn't there. We started out. I forgot who we started out with. I believe we started with Camavinga and Fede Valverde, who did not have a good game. Fede didn't have a good game either. And there were some knocks on Fede, I think, on Twitter. I was seeing some sort of knocks on the poor guy. And I think Fede Valverde is he is the heir to, not to say he's the heir to Modric's throne or to to Kroos, but he is a phenomenal midfielder when he is playing well and when he gets more time to play. And, to discount him over one bad performance really, to me, is ridiculous, because I think he is one of our best midfielders and best midfield prospects, of course. And he's just, 22 or 23? I mean, he's still a very young guy, and I think he's still going to bring a lot to the table. And I, for one, rate him very highly, and I like the fact that he's part of our team. But it was just a sad showing all around against Alcoyano, and really just a bad performance. And even though we won the game 3-1, that scoreline really wasn't didn't really showcase what the game what we saw in that game. That game was a very, very terrible game to watch. I mean, and then even the two goals that were scored that ended up putting us in the lead to win the game 3-1 were just goals that were accidents, I would say. You know, a deflection on a shot by Asensio, and then a ball that just bounces off the keeper and goes into his own net. I mean, just a strange bunch of events there to win. But I think it was another one of those things that we always kind of talk about, which is sometimes you're going to need those gritty wins to win these games. And especially when you're playing, I think a lot of times these third division teams are going to come out guns blazing. They're going to come out to not only physically try to bother the hell out of you, get in your face, make fouls, make you struggle. They're going to run at you and run all over the pitch, because really they have nothing to lose. And essentially with Alcoyano, they were already a team that has been fired up to play against Real Madrid, to play against us, because they had beaten Real Madrid last season in the Copa del Rey. So there was already a feeling like, hey, can we do it again? You know, we're fired up. Can we really hurt these guys? You know, and I think that was something that we saw against Alcoyano. And it seemed like, the funny thing is, you know, Militao scores the first goal, gets that header, which I think was a great play for Militao. I mean, of course, you know, coming off that loss against Getafe and that goal he gave away against, you know, that situation that caused the goal against Getafe, that mistake, to come back and score the goal was a very good thing, I think, for him. And then Alcoyano scores, and they listen. The goal he scored was a banger, man. I can't fault Lunin against it. For me, it's just Marcelo, and I hate to say it because I love Marcelo to death, but the guy really has no business playing. I think when he's on the offense, he has the ability, and you could see the skill set he has with his feet and with the ball on the left flank in order to add to our attack. But he is such a liability in defense, because he's defensively, he's never been, you know, a great defender. But, you know, we're talking about, like, he just he just doesn't come back on defense. It's just lazy. It's just, I mean, it's just slow. It's not laziness. I think it's just, he's just slow. He can't make it back. He can't track back. So, you know, you just have this wide open right-hand flank. And then, you know, forgot who it was that scored the goal for Alcoyano, but it was a beautiful shot. It was a beautiful goal. I mean, he bamboozled essentially Alaba, and I think it was Alaba that he took out, or Alaba that he took out and scores that goal. So, you know, that was kind of deja vu in a lot of ways. Like, were we going to end up going to, you know, was it going to be 1-1, and then we're going to end up going to overtime or extra time and then essentially lose the game like we did last season. But we were able to put the game away. It was a rough game, but it seems from everything that we're reading that Ancelotti wants to take Copa del Rey seriously as well. And then here it is, guys. I mean, what I think is this lack of Vinicius on that left flank, we're really seeing, of course, how important Vinicius is for Real Madrid this season. I mean, not only has he been, I mean, and he was last season too, because of the fact that he's such a headache for defenders, and having him be a headache for defenders opens up the opportunities for a lot of other players to score. And the crazy thing is, at least now this season, without all these COVID cases and, you know, which we've had, but we haven't had them, I think, to the amount that we had last season. And of course, they're not, you know, thankfully the COVID strains and things like that are not causing, you know, symptoms as much as they were previously. So we are, I hopefully feel at the tail end of this whole pandemic thing, but, you know, COVID affecting the players and so much injuries that we had last season. We really only had one guy that was scoring, which was essentially Benzema. And then we had other guys that were, you know, the likes of Sergio Ramos occasionally scoring goals, and Casemiro, you know, was scoring goals. And now we have, aside from Benzema having such a stellar season right now, you know, we're seeing goals from a lot of other players on the team, whether that is Toni Kroos, whether that is Asensio, when he's having a good game, he's showing up and he's scoring. Luka Modric is scoring goals. Militao is scoring goals. But then you have this other player, which is Vinicius, scoring goals. And the thing is, when we had, of course, La BBC, you had three different players scoring goals, three different guys causing problems for opposing defenders, because when you had three guys running at you with the likes of Bale, Benzema, and Cristiano, you didn't know who to cover. Because essentially, if you cover Cristiano, you're going to let Bale and Benzema through. If you cover Benzema, you're going to let, you know, so it was a very difficult, the only thing you could possibly do is maybe, you know, blow block and just play defense the entire time, which Real Madrid has struggled with now that, you know, we don't have that power front three that we used to have. But with the likes of Benzema and Vinicius, and especially with Vinicius running at you, that opens up the opportunity for Benzema to really just go to town and score the way he's been scoring, to allow guys like maybe a Rodrigo or an Asensio on the right flank to also be able to score. And it's because fundamentally right now, and the thing is, I was reading, I was listening to a really good podcast. Well, I know it was I think they did it with Spaces. So Managing Madrid, they did a good Spaces. So it was Kian Sobani and Arvind. And I think, you know, he talked about it a lot. There's like, they were really talking about the whole Vinicius and Ferland Mendy, basically on the left flank. And, you know, it was an interesting discussion there about how Mendy doesn't really offer a lot of for us offensively at all. I would say he's really very solid defensively, but in the modern game, and this is something that Marvin was saying, and I don't want to misquote him, so if any of you guys heard that Spaces chat that they were having, which I think was very solid, you know, he was really talking about how, you know, in the modern game really you're not looking for your fullbacks you know, for your wing for your fullbacks to be these incredibly defensive lockdown guys that'll just lock down the opposition defensively. I mean, you want them to have defensive acumen or defensive skills, but it's also very important then for them to be able to assist in the offense. So that is whether they are going to do it, whether they're going to overlap, you know, so they're either going to overlap the winger as the winger cuts inside, or they are going to, let's say, play inverted. So, you know, your winger's going to go out wide, which is what happens a lot with Real Madrid in this case, is where, you know, Mendy tends to come inside sometimes and Vinicius stays outside on the wing and then cuts inside from being wide, you know. So really, I think the reason we're playing inverted, and I think this was something that Arvin said, is the reason we're playing sometimes a lot more of that inverted fullback is because of the fact that Mendy doesn't really offer a lot going out and drifting wide from the wing. He's not good at making crosses, notwithstanding the cross he gave to Benzema to score the fourth goal against Valencia. Of course, you know, there's always something that is going to be the exception, but really, you know, I think Mendy doesn't offer as much offensively as he does defensively. But defensively, I think we need the help this season. So it'll be interesting to see who is going to be, you know, and this is kind of an aside, of course, but who is going to be the winger, not to replace Mendy, but I think to replace Marcelo when he's gone. I mean, are we going to see more of Miguel Gutierrez? I think it is kind of sad that we haven't seen more of him when I think he did. He's done some great things for us. I mean, at this point, I don't think we're going to put Alaba in that position. So it'll be really interesting to see who, if we do bring another left back, to come in and maybe play occasionally if we want to, you know, add more offensively, which is kind of what the modern game is, and have where you kind of overload those wings, you know, and have a lot of players more playing more offensively. I wonder if we're going to have somebody else there as well, in addition to Mendy, and fighting for that spot with Mendy, which is something that Omarvin brought up, which I think is, you know, who else, you know, he does add a lot to us defensively, but offensively he doesn't. But the thing that I was talking about, the reason I'm bringing this up, is that we can see that when Vinicius and Mendy are on the left-hand side, we are a very left-side dependent team. And I've seen that a lot lately. I mean, it really is. It used to be where, of course, you'd have Benzema dropping back a lot towards the center, and he's kind of the guy who's making plays and trying to link up, I would say, with your on-running wingers, left wingers or right wingers, in order to maybe play 1-2 combinations or throw it out to the wing. And in order, and like we saw a lot less last season, was it was a lot of crossing from the wings into the box, hoping that Benzema would be on the end of it. And when you have nobody else in the box aside from Benzema, it became a repetitive way to play the game. And I think that's what a lot of people were frustrated with. Now you have another threat, because even if Mendy does stay out wide and Vinicius cuts inside, you have another threat, which is essentially Vinicius now has having such a season and being so, you know, I think has, whether he's making passes, you know, making plays on the wing, or linking up with Benzema, he is such a threat on that left-hand side that, you know, it's causing other teams to always, I would say, cover him and try to bring more people to cover him, because they're so afraid of what he can bring to the game. And to not have him due to COVID, we really saw a drop in that ability. So you don't have, you know, Rodrigo doesn't have the same ability. I mean, as much as I think Rodrigo is a very, very solid player and has all the abilities that Vinicius does, except for the speed and the ability, or I would say not the ability. I think he can dribble. The thing is, what he doesn't have that Vinicius has is that daringness, that fearlessness to go at defenders the way Vinicius does. That is what Rodrigo doesn't have. And he also doesn't have that speed that Vinicius does. But he does have you know, he is very good at, I think he's very good at finishing. I think he's good at picking out passes. I think Rodrigo is a solid player. But the one thing we saw that was missing was, were defenders, you know, in these two games with Getafe and Alcoyano, were they afraid? Was there somebody causing that constant barrage of fear, of runs, of attacks, of just constantly coming at them and making them, you know, driving them crazy on the left flank? There wasn't, you know, there wasn't that, there wasn't somebody to be doing that. And so that left us without, and I think that's a problem, a little bit of a problem, because somebody talked about it with Ancelotti the other day in the press conference, is, do we have a Vinicius dependency? Do we have a Vinicius dependencia, Vini dependencia? And I would say we kind of do this season, because you're seeing that a lot of things are always moving up via the left flank. So it's always coming up via the left flank. It's going through Mendy. It's going through the left flank. And it's obviously going to Vinicius, trying to play balls over the defenders in order to get Vinicius' speed and have him catch the end of the ball, and then either cut inside to make a play with Benzema, cut inside to score himself, or to make a pass or a cross to, you know, the other winger at the second post, at the far post, whatever. You have these different options that Vinicius gives you. But the ability of his now to destabilize defenders and to, I think, cause such a havoc in them, where I think at this point it's like I put myself in the defender's shoes. What must they feel like seeing Vinicius run at them this season? And not only seeing that he's running at them and knowing that he can out-dribble them, but it's the fact that his pace, I'm pretty sure it's like, you know, that effect of seeing a motorcycle in your mirror, right? When you're driving a car, your motorcycle in your rearview mirror, that you don't know if whether you're going to, you should, you know, you put on your, you know, if you're going to put on your blinker to make sure you're going to get into that lane. Sometimes those motorcycles, especially these, you know, these fast paced motorcycles, you know, like these racing bikes, these motorbikes that are quick, you know, like the Ninjas and all these kind of things, like the Kawasaki's and all that. They're coming at you so fast, sport bikes, sorry. They're coming at you so fast that, like, by the time you, like, even think about merging into that lane, they've already passed you. You saw them 2 seconds ago looking at, like, they were maybe half a mile away, and they're so quick that they've already passed you. And I feel like that's what Vinicius must feel like to some of these defenders. You know, they're looking and seeing him with the ball coming at him, and before they know it, before they have a chance to react, the guy's already gone. And that's something that I think is a huge asset to Real Madrid right now, is essentially you have that guy. So you're having that ability to really just, you know, scare the crap out of defenders and make them work and make them have something on their mind, while Benzema and your Asensio and, let's say, Modric, if he's, you know, trying to, you know, go into the box, while Toni Kroos and Casemiro are further back, you have these guys, you know, sort of moving into that position to, or even, you know, as Vinicius takes the ball up, you have all these other options where it's maybe Toni Kroos to take a shot outside the box, Vinicius to dribble into the box and take a shot on goal, Benzema to take a shot on goal, Asensio or Rodrigo at the far post to take a shot on goal, Casemiro, you know, going into the box, going in, you know, running into the box to be that extra attacking player. You have all these different options now, and you have your defenders so focused on this one guy that you know, it leaves a lot of options open for Real Madrid. That's what we've seen this season. And so if your defenders focus on all the guys that they're supposed to be focusing on, right? They're man marking or marking all the guys that they're supposed to be marking, then you leave space for Vinicius to go in and possibly take out a couple of your defenders and score himself. So there's a lot of things I think defenders have to think about. And what we're seeing right now is that, you know, I think what we're seeing right now is that what we saw in those first two games of the season is that Real Madrid had no other option had no other option to replace Vinicius. There was no one that could take over, you know, what Vinicius could do. There was no one that could do what he could do. So that is the situation that I think we ran into at the beginning of the season that kind of scared, that kind of put us at a disadvantage. And I think it's something that kind of is a cause for concern with the rest of the season going on, and what will happen if Vinicius gets injured. What will happen if Vinicius is not available? You will see kind of this situation where there is a lack in that pace, where that left flank no longer has we don't have that ability on the left flank, or that option on the left flank to make up for the loss of Vinicius. Because it's, unfortunately, guys, as much as Eden Hazard, I mean, and honestly, that game against Getafe, bringing Eden Hazard, he was okay, but I don't think I honestly don't think we're going to see the best version of this guy. At this point, it's like, I just don't see it happening. It's not like with Vinicius where you see flashes of brilliance. And, you know, even though, like, I was somebody who kind of didn't feel like Vinicius was going to live up to that potential, and he shut me up completely, There's a couple of things that were on Vinicius' side. You would see these flashes of brilliance. You would see the speed that he had. You would see the ability that he had, the daringness, the fearlessness that he had. It just wasn't matching up correctly, right? So there was a growth potential that you could see, because the guy was only 19, 20, 21, right? But with Hazard, the thing is, it's the flip side of that, which is, we know what Hazard was at one point in his life capable of, and we're not seeing any of that now. And is it fear? Is he worried about not being able to score? Has he lost the sort of fearlessness that at one point in his life he had? The guy's getting older, so that comes with it. He's gun shy because of injuries. I'm pretty sure doesn't want to get injury. I'm pretty sure he's worried about living up to the expectations that so many Madridistas had for him. And he knows the press is constantly, keeping an eye on him. I think we're seeing a guy that is not living up to the pressure of the Real Madrid hype. And then, of course, things that don't help him out, in my view, are the fact that he's a guy that is known for not being a hard worker when it comes to training. He's known for being a bit lazy when it comes to training. And that's not something new. That's not a knock on the guy. It's something that we saw, coming into training overweight and all these kinds of different things, So I think it's more of time catching up with Hazard. Where he could have, I've said this in the past, where he could have banked on his talent for so many years and not have to worry about, people coming, about training as hard. But as you get to the age that he's in, the age bracket that he's in, you see it with guys like Luka Modric and guys like Cristiano Ronaldo and guys like Ibrahimovic, who say when you get to this age, you have to work 10 times harder in order to compete with all these young guns. And right now he has a young gun. He has a young maverick in the sense that of Vinicius, that how are you going to compete with that? How are you going to compete with a guy who's not only extremely talented, but he's also known for working hard? He's also a guy who likes to work hard and has, all reports coming from the club are saying that he's a hard worker when it comes to training. How are you going to compete with that? With that talent, with that hard work, and then essentially also with the fact that he's having the season of his life. How are you going to compete with that? You would have to work 10 times as hard and change your mindset when you have a history of not being able to change that mindset. So that is going back to my original point. That's what I think is a little bit concerning, is that we did see what not having Vinicius this season could bring to Real Madrid, is where you lose a huge part of your attack right now. And that's what we saw in the Getafe and Alcoyano game. And then we see, of course, in the game against Valencia, what it is to have that guy again, what it is to bring that person back into the game. That 1-2 play that he has set up, that set up the second goal, that beauty of a second goal where It looks like it's a crazy cluster fuck of defenders crashing into each other on Valencia's side. But when you see it in slow motion, Vinicius does a little tap, an autopase to go around the two defenders that are essentially running into each other, and goes around the two defenders and taps the ball in. It was a lot more genius of a play than at first it looked like. And that is just going to show you what that guy is capable of. And then, you know, you have that opportunity of a guy who's so quick on his feet, so aware, so hungry to score goals, that in the third goal, where Asensio blasts the ball at the goalkeeper and Cillessen stops it, but it bounces up, it bounces right bounces right into an on-running Vinicius, who heads the ball into the net. So right there, you saw two opportunities to do so, you know, two of those opportunities to score. And, and then Benzema, of course, you know, when he's having his days, which he's had a phenomenal season. So we could see that Getafe's, that game where he had an off day with Getafe, could it possibly be because he was so used to playing with Vinicius now and having that guy being his, you know, the guy he associates with when he's playing up front, to not have that player, to not have that person helping him out with that speed, with those passes, with that ability on the left flank, to not have it during Getafe left him sort of having to play that role where he has to drop back and try to play and play make and do all those things that we know Karim Benzema is also capable of doing. But he had to do it essentially by himself and with two wingers at this point, which is kind of what happened last season, two wingers that were not capable of scoring and putting away chances by themselves, Asensio, Rodrigo, which were not playing a good game against Getafe. So I really think, you know, you see right now how important this dupla, or you call it dupla in Spanish, or this tandem, you know, this duo right now of Vinicius Benzema, the Vinicius Benzema, Vinny Benz show, as I call this episode of the podcast. You see how important it is this season, which has, I think, in a lot of ways, although I'm very happy and I think, you know, it's our season to lose. It is a little worrisome because of the fact that, you know, these are the two guys, I think, that are really going to essentially win us the season with the likes, I think, of Modric and Toni Kroos. I really feel Casemiro's been off and on. He hasn't been there. There are decisions that he makes, like shooting on goal and all this kind of stuff, when, you know, there's an opportunity for a pass and other things like that. Errant passes, bad decision making on tackles that could get him sent off, or that cause obviously more controversy in a team that is always, you know, people are just waiting to jump on to Real Madrid when it comes to fouls and bullshit like that, because they can't handle the fact that, you know, people can't handle winners, you know. That's the problem. People can't handle teams that are perpetual winners. And I'll get that into that in a second when I get to the whole Valencia tweet bullshit nonsense. But, Casemiro hasn't been somebody like that I've felt has been at his absolute best. But at the same time, he's a guy who plays just an insane amount of minutes, because there's nobody who can really replace that position at the moment. You know, it's not Camavinga, it's not Valverde. You know, I think Blanco is great, and I think he's shown really some really good things in the times that we've seen him play, that I wish we could play more of him. But Ancelotti doesn't want to move away from that midfield three, which I think I like, but I dislike too, as much as I love Ancelotti, and I've always liked Ancelotti. So that's a little bit concerning. So those are the things that, as we head further and deeper into this season, are going to be a little bit more worrisome, is what would happen if we lose one of the two Vinicius, Benz, that duo, one of the two of that duo. We've already seen what happens when we don't have Vinicius. Our attack becomes similar to what it was last season, you know? Where your really only option to score goals is Karim Benzema. And And so I think, you know, I think that that's, and then you have, like I said, you have, speaking of what Omar Arnvin said about, you know, from managing Madrid, said about Ferland Mendy, is you have a, you know, you have a left back that isn't going to offer you much offensively. Then, you know, you have Lucas Vázquez, which I've, you know, I've crapped on in the past. And yes, he's not a right back, and he can play as a right back, but he's not a right back. He can play as a right winger, but he's not, you know, he's more of your squad player that can come in as a sub. But at this point, you know, at this point on our right wing, I think that's really why the idea of having somebody like Mbappe come in, all of those kind of things, having those guys come in and add to the attack, and Haaland, of course, to replace, to be an eventual replacement for Benzema. Like those type of people, is we're trying to get that scary front three that nobody wants to deal with, that is going to be so difficult to deal with, because no matter who you're covering, you're leaving one of them open that is going to finish and crush you. And then aside from that, you're going to have a midfield that is strong, and you're going to have a defense right now that really, honestly, aside from the fact that Militao made that one mistake against Getafe, I think he's been incredibly solid, and I don't want to hate on the guy. And I think Alaba is also good. I like them both, you know, to be honest with you. I'm very happy with having both of them. That we need another center back, I definitely think we do need another center back. I think, you know, the idea of Rudiger coming, I'm not a big Rudiger fan. Not so much because he's not a good defender. He's a phenomenal defender, but I think he's like a loose cannon. He's just a wild dude. You know, you've seen that shit that he's done. Like he bites people and he gets in people's faces. I don't know. He just seems like an odd guy. So, you know, I'd much rather have a Koundé. I'd much rather have, I don't know, man. You know, but you have Pau Torres. You have other guys there that could be really solid, you know, in that position. But we need somebody to be, aside from having just Alaba Alaba and Militao, and of course Nacho, you need somebody else there that is like a very, that is a solid defender. So you have somebody like, so like Rudiger, like Koundé, like De Ligt, like, you know, somebody else there, that can be one of those defenders that could either start if one of these guys is not available, or start because they're just as talented as either Militao or Alaba, or even more so talented than either one of those two. But you need those backups. You need to have that ability. And that's something that we don't have right now. I really feel like if one of those two guys is out, then you have to rely on Nacho, who I also think is solid. So I don't want to shit on him. He's done so much for the club and he never complains. That is a solid thing that you want to have in a club, but he's a squad player. But you want to have another, you know, high level defender there that can also deputize the other two main guys. And I think we need that. So that's one of the things I've seen a lot on Twitter, and I also agree with. And yeah, I mean, as much as I, like I said, as much as I'm not a big fan of Rudiger, he would be an amazing addition to have, because he is a very solid defender. So what else did I wanted to say? So yeah, this whole thing, I just wanted to talk a little quick thing about this fucking tweet. This tweet here. So it's on the screen, guys, if you didn't see it on Twitter or didn't hear about it after the Real Madrid game. But so here it is. Valencia actually tweets out after the penalty that was given to Real Madrid by when Casemiro scores. I mean, sorry, when Casemiro was in the box and essentially trips over, what's that guy's name? Alderete or Aldente or whatever his name is. But it said, basically it's in Spanish, los robos en Madrid empieza a ser algo repetitivo. So what that means in English is, it's basically the robberies by Madrid are starting to be repetitive. And then they at La Casa de Papel or at Money Heist, which is the Netflix show from Spain, which I don't know why they did that, but they're just completely, just a stupid tweet, especially coming from a team, you know, especially coming from a team that got, okay, so the one other thing is a team that got three penalties given to them. One of the last times we played them, they had three penalties given to them called in their favor the last time we played them. One of the last times, I think it was not the last time we played them, but before the previous time we played them before that, last season. At Mestalla, they were given 3 penalties in one game. Real Madrid has only had, I believe the stat was something along the lines of 3 pens in something like 50 games. So it's absolutely ridiculous to these guys be crying about robbery and be asking, you know, every game, every single game this season, or not every single game, but there's been so many games this season where Real Madrid had a legit call or a legit grievance about penalties not being called in our favor or grievous fouls not being called in our favor, whether that's a red card for another player that could potentially injured one of ours, or a pen that happened or a pen that could have been given to us, whether it was a hand in the box or a foul in the box or a pull on the shirt, which essentially was one against Getafe, Real Madrid, where they pulled on a Marcelo shirt. And see, here's the thing. I'm not one to bitch about. I hate bitching about. I see a lot of people on Twitter, and a lot of Madridistas always do this in Spain, not so much in the English-speaking Madridistas, but in Spain, I see a lot of it all the time, which is on Spanish Twitter, which is they always got to like call out everything is a foul, everything is a pen. And I think that's a problem with La Liga as a whole. It's such a soft league when it comes to shit like that, where everything is a pen, or you're always whining about the ref, or you're always worried about the ref. And yeah, the refs are bad, but they're bad all around in La Liga. They're not just bad against Madrid or bad against Barcelona, or for Barcelona or for whatever team, you know, you want to say that they are favoring this season. But, and to be honest with you, I don't think that was a penalty against Casemiro. But for them to say, the funny thing is, them to put up that idiotic tweet saying that, you know, it's the amount of times that Real Madrid has robbed is becoming repetitive. It's like, you know, I know I curse a lot on this thing, but it's like, but that's just the way I am. But it's like, motherfuckers, you lost the game 4-1. You know, you lost the game 4-1. And before the penalty even happened, okay, before the penalty was even given to Real Madrid, Real Madrid had a chance to score 3 different times. Militao got a header that Cillessen stopped. Marco Asensio, you know, made a shot on goal that Cillessen stopped. Was a tough shot that ended up going out to a corner kick. And then Luka Modric hit the post. It wasn't like they were dominating the game. And then Hernandez, who is a guy, by the way, who is known for, is a guy who is known to be a Barcelona fan, who is known to have, we have seen him call games against us in the past and things against us in the past, seems to always have a bias against Real Madrid. And I've seen this fucking guy all the time. But for them to say that, and in a game that they lost 4-1. So yeah, so okay, it was a dubious penalty call. But the problem is in La Liga is that all of them are dubious penalty calls. I think a lot of them, well, some are clear, but there is a lot of dubious penalty calling in La Liga. There is a lot of penalties not given in La Liga. There is a lot of times where VAR seems like it should come into play and it doesn't come into play. It's like they do whatever the hell they want. La Liga is, and when it comes to reffing, you know, I was talking about Florida being the crazy Wild West. La Liga seems to be the Florida of VAR in Europe. It's like they do whatever the hell they want with VAR, you know? I mean, I watch the Premier League, and I honestly think the Premier League does a better job of, and as controversial as some of those things may seem, you're always going to have a bias if those calls go against the team that you root for, right? But I always try to look at a game. It's just the way I've always looked at sports. Is like, I want to win. I want to win fair. So, you know, if it's an unfair, so yeah, like while I say, okay, it wasn't, it shouldn't have been a penalty for Casemiro, let's say. But at the end of the day, you still lost the game 4-1 because the team was not playing well. Valencia did not seem like a threat at all during that entire game for you to be like, they were robbed blind, you know, or that, as they say, that penalty conditioned the rest of the game or made the rest of the game caused problems for the rest of the game. I don't think it did at all. You know, so it's ridiculous for a team to go out there and actually tweak that. You know, for a social media manager of a team to actually tweak that shit is so incredibly, not only is it unprofessional, but you come off as such a whiny baby. Like if you lost 1-0, totally, maybe you could get away with saying that. But if you were hammered 4-1, you know, and throughout the game, there could have been more chances for you to lose. To say that, you look like the biggest and most sour loser there ever it was. And, you know, this is a team that I've said it on the podcast before. I've liked Valencia in the past, man. I liked, you know, when they had, of course, David Villa, when they had David Silva, you know, the days of Gaisca Mendieta, Miguel Angel Angulo, like all these guys that they used to have. Valencia was a team that I always thought was an interesting team to watch, you know. But seeing that was just like ridiculous, man. Like that's just the pinnacle of like you're whining. And it's probably because they're not doing well as of late, you know. So, but to say that and put that out there when you lost the game is just, when you lost the game 4-1, you know. And against the team, you know, and this is a thing, you know, with teams like Real Madrid, with teams that are perpetual winners, they're always going to be haters, man. It happened with Barcelona when Barcelona was going through that thing, going through that age where they were absolutely dominating with Messi and Eto'o and Ronaldinho and Xavi and Iniesta. People hated Barcelona. Obviously, I was one of them, but I was because I was a Real Madrid fan. But a lot of people hated Barcelona because they were perpetual winners. It happens the same thing with Real Madrid. It happens with Bayern Munich. It happened with Manchester United when they were absolutely dominating the Premier League. Everybody hates perpetual winners. Nobody likes dynasties. Like nobody liked the 96 Bulls, you know? Like nobody here in the United States, nobody liked the Yankees, man. You know, it's always like you're going to be a glory hunter if you follow these teams. The New England Patriots when they had Tom Brady, you know, they were just unstoppable dynasty teams winning one after the other. Like people just get tired of it, man. You know, they just don't like perpetual winners. And Real Madrid is a team that perpetually wins. Even when we do bad, like we've done for the past few seasons, we do decent. So it's like it's annoying to, if you are the fan of, I don't know, of Getafe, of Elche, of Valencia, of Sevilla, of these teams that are kind of always trying to get up there and win a league, and they can't because the big two are always going to be there, which is Barcelona, not one of the big twos anymore. But, you know, but Real Madrid has always been there, the cream of the crop, rising to the top. You know, they've always been the guys there. And so always they're going to bitch and complain and then they're going to bring out the shit about Franco and all this nonsense that they want to bring out because they feel like, you know, making it politically driven is going to make it and bringing up, you know, the Spanish Civil War and all these things that have already been bunked in the past, all these myths to sort of like bring politics into football. In the Spanish side of things, they just always want to do that. And so it's insane to me, but the funny thing is, it's insane to me that a team's actual Twitter account would do that, you know? And this is how I feel about it. You know, Benzema's face right there says it all. If you guys are listening, I just put a picture of Benzema on the screen. Like what? You know, he's a reaction, you know, but that's how I feel about that thing. What? Like, dude, come on, get it. It happens. Bad calls happen in sports. They shouldn't happen, but they happen. And VAR was brought in to sort of fix that problem. But in Spain, VAR has done nothing to fix that problem. Done absolutely zero to fix that problem. If anything, VAR just adds to it because people are like, why didn't it go to VAR? Why is VAR not looking at that? Because honestly, if it had gone to VAR, I'm thinking it might not have been a penalty. But would have Real Madrid lost that game based on how they were playing and how Valencia was playing? I don't think so. I think Real Madrid would still come out of the game the winners. So it's just ridiculous to me. And then again, we're a team that, like, once again, if you bring up the statistics, we've only had about three pens in the last 40 something odd games. Somebody out there's got the stats, but I remember reading them. It was like either 40 or 50 or something odd games that we haven't had a pen called. So it's ridiculous to say, Real Madrid always robs teams. You know, every single time they rob teams. Come on, man. Look at VAR in La Liga, and it's absolute shambles. Look at reffing in La Liga. It's absolute shambles all the time. All the time. I see bad calls all the time in La Liga. Good and for and against teams. Sometimes a penalty isn't called when it should have been a penalty. Sometimes a penalty is given when it should absolutely not have been a penalty. There's handballs that are clear handballs that are not given. And then there's balls that are not handballs, and they're given. So it's insanity. I would say La Liga has the worst reffing out of any, and I watch Serie A too. I watch Serie A, most the three leagues that I watch the most are Serie A, La Liga, and Premier. And out of those three, by far the worst reffing is La Liga. I even think Serie A's is actually pretty decent. So it's insane to me, man. It's insane to that this kind of shit keeps popping up all the time against Real Madrid. But it's just haters, man. It's just haters. Because they can't take the fact that they're losing against a superior team, or that this team has consistently won throughout the years. Consistently won and done well and performed well. And even when they have dips in form, they still do pretty decent. You know? I mean, even when we're having an off year, it's because we came in third or came in second, which isn't winning a title or anything. And Jota Jordi and all these guys from El Chiringuito can talk about Nanapletes and shit like that. But it's still a team that consistently is up there. Even if we didn't win the Champions League, we make it to the semifinals, you know, which at the end of the day is money in the pocket of the team, regardless of them not getting a title, you know. Which is something Real Madrid can boast about as much as, having won 13 Champions League that Barcelona's never going to be able to do. You know, so it's just hilarious. And they always got to bring it up. And it's, VAR, or they robbed, or they did this, or they did that. Or in 1960-something, or like Jota Jordi brought up on his fucking Twitter the other day, bring in something that happened in like 1950-something as the last time that Real Madrid, look at this penalty that they gave them in 1967. It's like, man, God, when you have to reach that far, you're just whining, man. So anyway, that's my thought about this whole thing. And that's the podcast. Listen, guys, I am super happy to be back. We are super happy to be back here in the studio. It is January. I'm doing this on Sunday, January 9th. So it is, it's been 9 days into the new year. Real Madrid has had three games in those 9 days, two which were terrible, but at least we got one, a win from one of them in the Copa del Rey, and got rid of those ghosts of the Alcoyano loss last season in the Copa del Rey. So we are back to doing that, back to doing well again. And I think, I think the season is looking better and better. I mean, I think we have a game against Barcelona for the Supercopa, which I think is going to be absolutely awesome, because I hope we can shut Xavi up, because that guy talks way too much, especially given what he's not been able to achieve as of yet with Barcelona. But then I also am looking forward to, how we're going to perform in Copa del Rey as Elche is our next team, how we're going to perform in the Champions League, if we can keep up this, and if we can go back into these winning ways and hopefully, just tighten up everything and continue having the same season that we were having towards the end right now of last year. So of 2021, that we were doing so solid. And of course, we had that hiccup against Getafe, a bad game against Alcoyano, but we were missing, a major player. And hopefully our guys can stay healthy. Hopefully our players can stay healthy. Hopefully, we don't have any of these games where everybody seems to just be off You know, at this point, it's crunch time. The vacations are over. So hopefully, at least now, we are going to be seeing Real Madrid at its full best. And we already did see them again show up, especially Vinny and Benz, in the Valencia game. So I think we're really going to continue on in the same vein. And I think at this point, it's a la Madrid. We're going to continue killing it. We're going to continue doing it. We've already run into, you know, we've had those games that we needed that we're going to lose, like I talk about sometimes, which is you're going to have those rough games. You're going to have those games where it's going to be difficult to win. You're going to have those games where you're biting your nails and the other team is giving us problems. But this year, this season, we seem to be pulling it out time and time again. So hopefully, right now, we just have to keep Sevilla at bay. And if we can pull away from Sevilla, I think we're going to be golden. It's really, like I said, I think it's our La Liga to lose. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with PSG, what's going to be happening with Mbappe. I don't think Zidane is going to PSG, so they can cut that shit out. And that's it, guys. So remember, if you're watching me on YouTube, guys, please, please hit the subscribe button. Please hit the notification button if you want to get notified and of all the updates we make. And if you are on our audio, listening to the audio version of the podcast, please, guys, check us out. Please, guys, give us a rating and a subscribe and rate and comment, and you know that helps us rise up in the ranks. If you are on Apple Podcasts, if you're anywhere else, just let people know about the podcast. So the people that are listening to me that frequent the Reddit, the Real Madrid Reddit, man, I thank you guys for subscribing. Please spread the word. Also, shout out to I think it's called Real Talk. Is it the pod of these guys? Oh no, Keeping It Real is the other podcast for some of the guys that are there at the Real Madrid Reddit, that they created a podcast as well. So shout out to them. Also shout out to the guys for Managing Madrid. Actually, from the guys at Managing Madrid, I'm actually going to go to their live podcast that's going to be here in Miami. So if any of you guys are going to that live podcast, they're going to be in Miami from Managing Madrid, hit me up and maybe we'll talk over there or whatnot. But anyway, guys, thank you guys for listening. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. A la Madrid, and I will talk to you again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, Al Real Madrid Podcast.